Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. It is a blessing to be here. We are studying from Terrorize Bible Study, Tell It Well. And the last couple of weeks, we've been digging a little deeper into just the first chapter of Acts.
Yeah.
And last week, we really just meditated on the verse 8, which is amazing, that the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will receive ability, efficiency, and might.
Yeah.
And to preach and be a witness to all the ends and the bounds of the earth. Yes.
It is so good. And can you believe we spent a whole day just on one verse?
No, I can.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Because that's lacking, unfortunately, in so many people that are Christians. They don't understand the might and the power of the Holy Spirit.
And he's the gift that God wants to give us is amazing, what he is wanting to do through us.
Mm.
And then the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, what we've done is we have looked at, over the last month, I want you to see what we've done. We told the story of Christ's ascension, and we showed that it's a continuous report that Luke has been doing. We have shown that there's convincing evidence that Jesus provided so that they could see and know that he was real and alive and active. He gives captivating commands. He tells them, I want you to go to Jerusalem and I want you to wait to receive the Holy Spirit. We see that the disciples ask clueless questions and that God has shown them, which we looked at last week, he has choice authority.
Yes.
He has choice authority. He is the one who reveals things. That was actually 2 weeks ago. And then this past week, we looked at the coming power. Mm-hmm. And how the power will come upon us and the disciples through the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And that's what enables us to witness. Now, what I want you to understand, he didn't ask them if they wanted to be a witness.
Mm-mm. He said, you will.
You will. And this is, I think, huge. In fact, I'm going to stand on some toes. I might just stomp on a couple of toes right now. If you are a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have no right to say, I will not witness. I will not tell people about Christ. I believe it's personal. It's not. The only thing that is personal is you believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. From that point forward, everything is about communicating the word of God.
That's right.
And so it, he says, you will be my witnesses. And then we see here, what I want you to see is that he is then caught up and he is carried away. Mm-hmm. And we talked about that it was an extraordinary ascension, because he was born with an ordinary birth,
mm-hmm.
and that we had to see that he had to leave so that the Spirit of God could fill us,
yes.
that we could have the counselor. And then it moves in, and what I want you to understand is that, and this is something that is extremely profound, but I don't think that we get it like we need to get it. I think we need to get better at it. I think, with that said, the body of Christ is seeking to get better at it. But we are called to be a people of community. Mm-hmm. We cannot be in isolation. And there's danger in isolation. It cannot happen. We cannot isolate ourselves. And the disciples, as soon as he ascended and the two men dressed in white left them and said to them, he will return. They left that area and they immediately went to Jerusalem. Says that they went to an upper room, and as a group, they were there together staying. And it was Peter and John and James and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas, the son of James. And then it says Mary and the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the women, and then Jesus's brothers. They were all there together, and they had this thought in mind, and I want to read it to you from the Message translation, because this verse absolutely blew my mind away in the Message. It says in verse 14, Acts 1, they agreed they were in this for good, completely together in prayer.
Mm.
They agreed they were in this for good, completely together in prayer. Okay. In the NIV, so you'll know, it says, all of these, with their minds in full agreement, devoted themselves steadfastly to prayer, waiting together. In the book of Acts, the sense of community is so profound and so developed
Yes.
that you'll see the words devoted together, one accord, together, gathered, the phrases that all demonstrate that they are in community. And I was thinking through and I thought, God, what are the different things that they have done just in Acts 1 to demonstrate that they're in community? And then I just, based on this verse and a few others on this passage, I came up with a list of things that I saw that they were doing together. They were, one, devoted together. Their hearts were of the same spirit. They committed together. They were, you know, committed to pray together. They were waiting. And in fact, if we look into the actual way that the timing falls out in Acts 2, we'll find out that it's at Pentecost that the Holy Spirit arrives. Well, there are the resurrection. From the resurrection, Jesus walks 40 days, and then he ascends, and then Pentecost happens 50 days after the resurrection. Based on that, we know they prayed together 10 days. Because he ascended on the fourth day, they had 10 days that they were devoted together, praying together as they waited for the Holy Spirit to come. Now, if we called a 10-day prayer, I mean, we may get people to commit to say, I'm going to come for 15 minutes. Maybe a few that would say, I'll come and pray for an hour or two. But to get people to come and gather daily praying together for 10 days, I think that's one of the hardest things we have to get people to pray anymore for any length of time. But they committed together. They were watching together, watching, and they were waiting together. They were watching for who to come? They were watching for who, Sabrina?
The Holy Spirit.
That's right. And they were waiting for him, watching and waiting. They were praying, and then they were choosing together. Why did I say they were choosing? What happens in Acts 1 that they choose? They choose an apostle to fill Judas's.
Right, Matthias.
Yeah. And then they end up witnessing together, observing things together. Here we see the community, the bond. And what we don't realize, or I should say they didn't realize, was this was the beginning of the early church.
Right.
Because as soon as the Holy Spirit comes and they begin preaching, 3,000 will people be saved. 3,000 will be saved. And so we have the preparation of the early church. And so they were, as they were waiting, that's where Peter stands up and says, we need to choose someone. And he looks out amongst them, and in verses 16, he says, I want us to look. He says, brethren, he says, it's necessary the scripture be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit foretold through David and about Judas, who acted as a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was counted among us and received by divine allotment his portion in ministry. And so then he goes, we've got to find someone to fill his leadership position. Okay. And
it's like a pastor kind of, or,
well, you know, for them, the definition of an apostle was someone who was a direct witness.
Okay.
Okay. They had to be a part of the group that saw.
Okay.
And in order for the person to be the apostle, they had to be a part of the witness. Now, some commentators, this was pretty interesting, believe that Peter actually gets out of the will of God in this. And scripture is what they use as the testimony to show this. Who is labeled as the 12th disciple, or the 12th apostle, based on scripture? Do you know?
Mm-mm.
It's Paul. It's not Matthias. Paul's who writes 13 books of the Bible. And see, Paul was an eyewitness to all that happened, but he was on the other side of the fence. Okay? He saw what Jesus did. He saw him preach, he saw him teach, he saw him heal, but he did everything he could to kill those who were his followers.
Right.
God had someone he was appointing. It wasn't for them to choose who was to be chosen. They were trying to do with their own. It's kind of funny because, you know, here, I want you to wait upon the Holy Spirit. We talked about when you have the Holy Spirit, you will have the ability, the efficiency, and the might. And that it's crucial that we do things for the kingdom of God through the Holy Spirit and not our own strength. And you know, I would say based on scripture that they probably were jumping the gun because it is Saul. Saul is clearly the 12th apostle. And there are many passages where he refers to himself, I, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the 12th apostle. And nowhere else in Scripture is Matthias ever mentioned. If he was the 12th apostle, we would have had great testimony of his works.
Right, because Matthias is not the same as Matthew.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. So do you see here how, you know, it's kind of interesting how it all falls into place. And so they're choosing, and he's looking for the one that would be counted among them. And it wasn't for them to do the counting.
Mm.
That was, you know, God's got a plan, and we have to wait on God's plan. And so sometimes when we go about doing the choosing, we, with our human eyes, can see they were great guys. There was nothing wrong with Judas Barsabbas, or there was nothing wrong with Matthias. These were guys that were witnesses. They'd been followers. They'd been faithful. They obviously were leaders. It's just they weren't the ones that God was going to use for his purposes in that. And so to making sure that we wait upon him for the intimate details of especially ministry related or marriage related, or do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Or our call, occupation, students that are, you know, I'm going to do this because maybe it's what dad always did. And instead of calling and asking upon God,
they choose for themselves.
Yes. And then what happens is that, you know, it just, he falls away. He's never spoken of again. It's just interesting. So here we have all the things that they've done.
I never noticed that.
I know. It's so funny. It's just one of those things you just never notice as things happen. And it comes to place as the revelation of God falls into the circumstances. We have to wait upon God. And the other thing that happened is that it says that as they prayed, he said, Lord, you know all hearts. And when he says that, the Amplified really describes this very well. It says, you know, thoughts and passions and desires, our appetites, our purposes and our endeavors. And so God knowing our thoughts, you know, it wasn't that God was upset with them because of what they did. I mean, there's no discipline or anything. They were doing what they thought was best at the time. But they hadn't yet gotten the Holy Spirit to reveal to them what it was that God wanted them to do. The purpose behind choosing the right people when we do ministry or making the right choices so that we can tell well in our work environment or in our relationships, it's for life transformation to take place. And life transformation is the process of becoming more and more like Christ. It is the change that occurs in us. And I know, I imagine with the disciples that when they were walking this earth with Christ, they were probably just as surprised as I am at how Christ has changed me and how he has changed them. And so who would have been better to have been one of those disciples than for it to have been Saul? Because Saul, you know, what a radical life change. The change that occurs in Saul is so profound that, you know, without Saul, I mean, we wouldn't have 13 books. I mean, his change was so radical. And so we need that to happen. The other thing that I wanted you to know, that this is pretty cool, it's just like one of those history things. When they drew lots, the casting of lots in this passage, it's the last time the casting of lots ever is spoken of in Scripture again. It never happens ever again. And why would you think that they would not have a need to cast lots? Casting lots, you know, is like, I don't know, like a roll of dice if you want something modern to get a visual for. Why would they not have to roll dice anymore to know what God's will is?
Because the Holy Spirit has come.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
It's almost as if a visual.
Yeah, no more having to like kind of, well, I hope this is it. Let's just, you know, that eight ball.
Yeah.
Shake it up. What's going to happen? Right. Oh, God is in you.
That's right. And they have no need for that. They have no need for the rolling of dice to make choices, because they can pray and the power of the Holy Spirit that is in them can make it known. So within the series, in order to help people, I compiled, because one of the questions that I have the people look up and ask, research, is what do you learn about God the Father? What do you learn about Jesus? And what do you learn about the Holy Spirit? Okay, as a point of reflection back, what do you remember that we've learned in Acts 1 about the Father?
That he's the only one that gives authority.
It's his authority that...
Right, for the dates, the seasons.
Completely. That he is the one who has sole authority.
Right.
There is no other like him. And the other thing that we learned was that he is the giver of the gift.
Right.
The giver of the gift of life through Jesus and the giver of gift of the Holy Spirit. No one else can give the gift. Mm-mm. He's the one that gives the Holy Spirit to Jesus, and he is the one that gives the Holy Spirit to us. And the other thing is that he knows what Jesus does not know.
Mm.
And because Jesus came in human flesh. And the Lord also, because of their prayer, they said, Lord, reveal to us, you know men's hearts. And remember, we talked about when it says knowing men's hearts, it's their thoughts, their passions, their desires, their appetites, purposes, endeavors. He is the one that knows our hearts. Mm. And when you look at that list of all of that, there's nothing hidden from God. I mean, absolutely nothing. Okay, let's look at Jesus. What do we learn about Jesus through this passage?
Jesus ascended.
Yeah.
Jesus is coming back.
He is coming back. He is. Oh, and I love that. And let me give you a tidbit real quick there. It says that he will land in the same spot. He will return here. So where he ascended, he will return here.
Again.
And then in Zechariah, I may not have the verse right, but it says that when he lands in that spot, that the earth will split with an earthquake from the east to the west. Well, if the earth splits in an earthquake, as far as the east is to the west, that means that earthquake will meet. It'll go around the entire earth.
Wow.
I mean, I'm taking it literally. I have no idea. I've not scientifically, but my literal mind, that's how I read that. There will be no doubt when Jesus returns.
Okay. Quick question before we just, is this pre-rapture?
You know what, Sabrina, we have 30 seconds
okay,
left.
Never mind.
We're not going to go there. We have 30
That'll
seconds.
Be afterwards.
With the Holy Spirit, I want you to get that the Holy Spirit gives Jesus instructions. He is a gift. He's the one that baptizes us in God. He is coming, and he gives power, and he has been speaking through history, and he wants to speak through you.
Mm.
He wants to speak through me. He wants to communicate what Jesus came to do and to teach in fulfilling the will of the Father. We're so glad you're listening to Cultivating Hearts. God bless.